Hello, everyone. In today's episode, we will talk about the priority of protein during fat loss, either by natural methods or with GLP-1 agonists like Ozempic. Please enjoy.
Welcome to the Perfect Workout Podcast, where fitness meets simplicity. I'm Kyle Recchia, CEO of the Perfect Workout. I'm joined by Jim Keane, our director of training. We hope you enjoy today's episode. Welcome back, everybody. Today is a really exciting episode. This is, again, we're just taking questions and feedback and a lot of the stuff that's going on out there, so to speak, in our world. And we're going to talk about them deeply here. So today is getting a little bit more in the weeds on something we've already spoken about, which is fat loss. A lot of people start exercise, most people, I would say, actually.
The majority.
Start exercise of any type with the goal of, I want to lose weight. In an earlier episode, we talked about that really doesn't matter. What we want to do is lose fat, you know? And so we won't go into that too much. If you want to get more on that, go to our episode, whatever number that was.
Right.
Before this one.
The previous episode.
Yeah. I'm no longer saying episode numbers now. So
it can't be true.
Now I'm lost. But we're going to go deeper there. So there's some things that people are doing right now. When it comes to, and we talked about this before, when it comes to fat loss, it's really important to manage that energy balance. And then when you are managing that energy balance, which you're going to talk about in a moment here, you know, the energy is made up of different things. So we've got protein, fat, carbohydrates, et cetera. So actually, why don't you just talk about that first and then what's most important for people to consider? And then we're going to get a little bit into some of the GLP-1 stuff.
Sure. So in general, the calorie equation, the energy balance, the calories in, calories out, that's an essential part that when someone has lost fat, it is always true that they have burned more than they've taken in. But when people myopically focus on just that element, they can't see the forest because the trees are in the way. And so they need to zoom out a little bit. And so the idea is, I always give the example of if you walk up to a beggar on the street and you say, I know why you're so poor. It's because you're spending more than you earn. You're welcome. I'll see you. I just solved your financial problems. Yes, yeah, I get it. I'm spending more than I earn, but that's not the problem. So there's the proximate cause and the ultimate cause. So, oh, you're fat because you've taken in more calories than you've burned. Gee, thanks. Super helpful. Thanks. Yes, we know. We know. And so that's the proximate cause, but the ultimate cause answers the question of why? How come? What's driving that? And there's so many different things driving it. There's addictive foods from companies that get paid a bunch of money to make them addictive. There's nutrient partitioning. When you do eat food, what goes where and why? Is it supply-based? Is it demand-based? And then there's your, milieu. It's a fancy French word in the wine word. The soil, the environment. What's your metabolic milieu? What are your levels of all the hormones and enzymes, factors and cofactors that control your appetite? And you have all these peptide proteins, and there's ghrelin and neuropeptide double Y and all these things that influence your appetite. And then there's leptin, and then there's even your testosterone levels, and all these different things can influence how much you spend and how much you earn. So there's all these things that can be affected. And then when you eat those macronutrients you're talking about, a lot of people are unaware even that 1 gram by weight of each of those has different amounts of energy in it. And so 1 gram of protein, it's 4 calories if you burned it in a bomb calorimeter. 1 gram of carbohydrate is also 4 calories if you burned it in a lab in a bomb calorimeter. And then a gram of fat, and it gets you 9 calories. And so it's over twice the energy. And of course, just because you burn it in a bomb calorimeter, that doesn't mean that that's what happens in the body, because of course we're not a bomb calorimeter in a lab somewhere that just combusts things and measures the heat that comes off. We have an entire well-developed system to handle incoming energy, and the food that we eat is not just energy, it's information.
Let me highlight something that's important. I just got a flashback from my anatomy and physiology professor who had asked all these questions.
Yeah.
There's some books in the past, I won't call them out because I'm not sure if I can do that, but they implied that whatever happens to food in a petri dish is the exact same thing that's happening in your body.
Check that out.
What you just talked about there, like I'd asked my, you know, AMP teacher or professor this and that, and he's like, well, I can explain to you the mechanism to your question like in a petri dish, but when it gets into the complexity of your body, it's way different. So just a little extra hack there. What you just mentioned, the body's much more complex than when we measure these things, burning them in
whatever that word was you just said.
The old bomb calorimeter.
Bomb calorimeter.
Atwater in the late 19th century, who first did those experiments. We're still using that stuff today. Certain people are. And it's also the, like, technically, like, yeah, calorie's a calorie, but it's a little bit like saying, ah, car's a car, whatever. Or, ah, wine is wine, just whatever. Ah, movie's a movie, just go see it. They're all the same. Movies, you get the idea. So in the literal sense, yeah, wine is wine. But there's vast differences in types of wine. There's vast differences in types of car. A car is not a car. What do you mean a car is not a car? You know what I mean when I say, well, it's, can I get a car? Just any car? No. I want what I prefer, and there are vast differences. So the same thing is true of the energy that we take in, because again, food isn't just energy, it's information.
Yeah, so I'll make a statement here, and then let's go deep into protein, because it's no secret. I'm really grateful. I mentioned this in an earlier episode. Dr. Gabriel Lyons, please come on our show.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you haven't listened to Gabriel Lyons, you should follow her on social media. She is like the protein person. So more and more people are becoming aware of how important protein is. And I want to go a little bit deeper into that. But it's worth saying that if you really want to burn fat and you're controlling those, the energy balance there, the total calories, exercise, if you want to burn fat while either maintaining or building strength and muscle, exercise is absolutely necessary, but it's not sufficient. We also need to watch this energy balance. And let's go deeper on why protein is so important.
So when you lose weight, and when you look at meta-analyses, the studies of studies, about what happens when you put a bunch of lab rats on diets, and by lab rats, I mean the human subjects, what happens is, out of all the weight you lose, about 75% of it is fat and 25% of it is muscle. And that's just sort of par for the course. When you add in exercise in the form of strength training, and when you have sufficient protein, and there's different ranges and different labs use different rules, but when you focus on protein and that's part of the study, you can get that up to almost all fat if you do it intelligently. And so the reason that's so important is because if you lose 5 pounds of fat and you lose 5 pounds of muscle, you might have lost 10 pounds, but you're setting yourself up for a future where your metabolic rate is slower, where your nutrient partitioning is worse, where your glucose control is worse, your blood sugar control is worse. Your body's having to work harder to dispose of the incoming glucose that you're eating because you have less and less muscle mass. Your engine is getting smaller. So you might look at the scale and say, this is great, I lost 30 pounds. Yeah, well, 10 or 15 of that was muscle. And so because hunger always wins. And when you lose weight, what happens is your body has a feedback mechanism. It's always seeking to adapt and to find homeostasis. And so you have lost weight rapidly, but you've also lost this metabolically active, metabolically productive tissue, muscle. It's an endocrine organ. It releases hormones out of it. It interacts with the rest of your body. It's not inert. It's not just to look big in a mirror or to be strong as you age. It's actually an active tissue. And when you lose it, you create a situation where eventually the hunger wins, eventually you fall off whatever diet you were doing, and if you weren't strength training and if you weren't eating enough protein, you're now in a far worse position. You gain the weight back and then some, and you end up fatter than you were with even worse body composition because now you've lost that muscle, and on the way back up, you weren't gaining muscle. It was all fat that you gained, but it was half muscle that you lost.
Yeah.
So now that's the yo-yo diet.
That's the really beautiful thing about, and again, I'll just keep referencing you, Gabriel, but that's the beautiful thing about Gabriel's work is we've majored for years on, let's just focus on weight loss, period.
Right. Calories in, calories out, fat, just fat diet loss. Down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's making us less healthy. And so she takes people where they are and says, hey, what are you ready, willing, and able to do? And most of the time, that's just one or two key habits. And the focus is exercise and enough protein.
Yep.
Because if we can do those things, even if you're not losing weight, we're going to be making you healthier. And then in the future, we're setting you up for better fat loss. So how much protein, just quickly, like, should somebody be thinking about whenever they're, especially if they are at the phase where they've adopted the habit of watching their total calorie intake?
The general recommendation these days, that's sort of a catch-all, like something easy to remember for the layman, We don't want to say like this point, this many grams per kilogram of body weight. Like that's in the research and that's been sussed out and that's legit. But for the people like who would be listening to this, 1 gram of protein per pound of your ideal body weight. So you know that weight where you're going to look good, you're going to feel good, you're going to be happy with your body composition. We all have that number in our head. I remember when I was this much weight and I felt great about it. Whatever that is, get that many grams of protein per day. And if you focus on that and then strength train, what eventually happens, so it's cart before the horse to say, well, just eat less. And that's telling the guy he spends more than he earns and that's why he's poor. Well, yes, but so what happens when you start eating ample amounts of protein, 1 gram per pound of whatever your ideal body weight is, over time, not right away. Right away, you might actually gain a little weight because you've been under eating. But then what happens is you start to gain more and more muscle and the body finally starts giving you the signals that say, I think we're good. I think we're not so hungry. We're not starving or there's no famine. We're building muscle. And eventually you just find yourself naturally eating less because of your high protein intake and the trace fats that come with that, you know, the yolk and the egg and the marbling on the ribeye and the fat in the ground beef and the fat in the chicken thigh and these types of things. So now your hormones are balancing. Now your muscle mass is being retained and built. And then as a result of that, you have higher levels of satiety hormones. So you become less hungry. So you eat less. And it's a virtuous cycle because your body is very sensitive then to the protein that you are eating. And then at the end, you say, I lost this amount of weight. And there's people out there, there are people out there who will say, ah, yeah, that's just because you ate less. That's just because you burned more than you took in. That's all. See? Calories in, calories out. Yes, that's true. And that wasn't the first thing to focus on. That was what happened later. So the thing to focus on is the protein and the food that will allow you to create the conditions in your body that will then be conducive to eating less naturally. And so that is, we're having sort of a 180 reversal of the understanding of like telling that guy, well, you should study this topic and you should talk to this person, get this job training and this and that. And let's say he goes and gets a job because of those things. And now he's got an apartment and he's got his life. You go, see, I told you, just start earning more than you spend. See, I am so smart. I'm so glad I could help you. So this is the idea. Yes, that's always true. Calories in, calories out is true. And it's not useful when that's the first piece of advice.
So I want to get, because you talked about it, I want to get over to GLP-1. Mm-hmm. But before I do that, let me just highlight a few key takeaways. When you start this journey, focusing on exercise and focusing on getting enough protein, sufficient protein, is key. And if you do that, you might start to see the scale go up. You might see the scale plateau. That's fine. That's the focus that we want. You're playing the long game here, like we've talked about. You're adding muscle. You're increasing your life, your health span. You're increasing that longevity. You might be healthier, even when it comes to some of the biomarkers and blood work things that we look at.
Right.
With slight fat loss or even just going up on the scale. So I don't want to go crazy, crazy deep here, but it's worth mentioning just quickly, and you can do some more research on your own if you'd like. All protein isn't created equal. So what do we know about protein when it comes to animal protein, for example, versus plant protein?
The best way I heard it described was like operating systems. And certain programs function on certain operating systems and don't function on other operating systems. And the operating system that we run under, we are animals. And so animal protein, the most basic way to understand it, that's our operating system. And then plant protein, there are amino acids in certain plants, but it's in such an operating system that it becomes less efficient to use. It becomes less useful when it is used and is not as capable of producing the same results. But if you think it's just about grams, a gram is a gram, protein's protein, bro, then you wouldn't understand that. But the truth is, animal sources of protein are more compatible with our digestion. They're more compatible with our systems by which we create muscle. And it has to do with the order of amino acids and the complete complement of the essential and the non-essential amino acids. And so in general, as a rule, animal-based protein, it's not like you're going to eat some legumes and keel over because of the plant protein. It's not the case. But it's simply just not as usable as the animal protein. So if you, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying if you had to choose, you would choose the animal-based protein, and you can have both. But just be sure that you're getting plenty of the animal-based protein as part of your 1 gram per pound of ideal body weight. See how much of that you can get from animal sources of protein.
Yeah. One tip we have as personal trainers that we get into pretty early on when somebody's like, okay, I am ready to adopt the habits of like watching my energy balance. And so, you know, we'll take people and say, I tell you what, for the first week, why don't you just write down what you're eating? Okay. I'm not going to have you eat more or less. Just want you to write down what you're eating so we can get a good snapshot of what's going on in your life. And, you know, for myself, we talk about the American diet and we talk about food being like so satiating and addictive and things like that. I don't think people really understand how hard and yet how easy it can be to get enough protein. So a good example is if you just go watch most people eat a cheeseburger and then eat some pizza and things like that, most foods that are really accessible are so much higher on fat and carbohydrates than they are on protein.
Right.
Even if it's fried chicken.
Right.
The amount of fat and carbohydrates in that fried chicken just doesn't balance out the protein. So it's almost, it's damn near impossible to get enough protein that you need while keeping that fat and carbohydrate ratio low enough so that your total energy balance is one that will help you get fat loss. So I'm just going to say for a quick hack, like if you're like, where do I start? And you're ready to focus on these things, a protein forward diet that is on lean animal products is the right way to go. Because if you go, I had a cheeseburger and I know there's a bunch of meat on my pizza, you're just not going to be able to get there.
Right. Right. And that's like the same people who say, oh, this had a vegetable in it. It's healthy. And so, well, this had some protein. This cheeseburger had some meat in it. You're like, okay. So the main takeaway as you're assembling your day of eating, prioritize protein. Eat the protein first. So whatever protein is part of your meal, see what happens when you eat that first while you're still hungry. And this will cause a couple of effects. One, if you prioritize protein, you'll end up eating more of it just as a side effect. But the second thing is if you eat the protein first, it turns out protein is the most satiating of the three macronutrients. So if you eat it first, you probably won't eat as much either at that meal or later in the day at those meals. What I see most often is at the restaurant. It's a classic setup, the bread, and then there's a salad course and there's soup. And then on your plate, you eat the starches first, and then finally get to the meat, but then you don't finish it all and you're full. So that's what's happened over the last half a century as we all became obese. So let's do the reverse. Let's prioritize the protein and let's satiate ourselves on stuff that our body can use to recover from the workouts and to partition the fuel as it comes in into where it goes.
Yeah.
So prioritizing protein, there's no need to fear fat, and you just have to control those starches and sugars and those carbohydrates that you do have. If you decide to do that. So if you prioritize protein, though, that's going to yield you the best results. And it's going to allow you to make the best decisions later on when you say, no, no more for me, thanks. I'm actually pretty stuffed.
Right. And so two more hacks there. If you're trying to keep the calories low enough and you're focusing on protein, you're like, I can't eat enough protein. This happens a lot with our members. Supplementation. We'll get into other supplementation in a future episode.
Yeah.
We're pro supplementation, a protein shake. I was bragging the other day to Jim about the new David bar that's like 150 calories, but it's 28 grams of protein, which is phenomenal.
P to E ratio. Awesome. Killer on that.
Shout out to
Ted Damon.
There you go.
Shout out.
So yeah, a lot of times you have to add in that supplementation, and that's not a bad thing. In fact, it's another one of those that might be almost necessary. But like you said, protein, there's been a lot of great work done on not just how full protein makes you feel so that you eat less, also how much it helps you control your insulin spikes, you know, from the meal if you started with your protein and your fats. So some of the benefits that you mentioned, feeling more full, so you're eating less overall, and some of the benefits that come from protein and even exercise are amplified right now in some of these new drugs. So we've got, I'm just going to say GLP, and you can correct me in a moment, a lot of the GLP drugs out there like Wegovy and Ozempic and these sorts of things. And what they're really doing, we're not going to go deep here. There's a lot of people going deep on this.
Yep.
But what they're really doing is they're helping people feel more full, so they're eating less. And the danger there is what we've talked about. That can be life-changing for a lot of people, reversing diabetes, all kinds of stuff. But what tends to happen is you go take this drug and you want to sit on the couch more. Your energy's lower because you're eating less food. And you're not getting the protein in, you're not getting the exercise in, so you're back to that person that's getting 60% of the fat loss and 40% of the muscle loss on their total weight loss. So yeah, you want to talk a little bit about these drugs and why it's just important to remember the two things we just mentioned.
Yeah. So this class of drugs, if I remember correctly, it's GLP-1 agonist drugs. So the receptors are more sensitized to GLP-1. And so that's Wegovy and Ozempic and Mounjaro. And then there's tirzepatide, which is GIP agonist. And it's a little bit different in their mechanisms. We don't need to get into that here. But tirzepatide is even more effective. It does the same things that the GLP-1 agonists do, but then also has a certain activity on the fat cells themselves directly affecting fat metabolism, lipolysis, and the flux of energy in and out of fat cells that the original ones don't.
Wow.
So it's the same class of drugs and there's slight differences, but the main idea is this isn't saying, yes, you should take these, and this is not saying you definitely shouldn't take these. We're not here to make a prescription. We're not clinicians. But if you are going to decide to do it, there are two main things to really keep track of. And the first one, you got to do some strength training. If you're doing this and not strength training, you are preparing yourself for a future you will find highly undesirable as you lose muscle. You mentioned 60-40. It's actually, it's even worse than that. More than half of the weight you will lose is going to be muscle. The most productive and protective tissue on our bodies, gone. And you have the weight on the scales moving in the right direction. Great. That's good. Especially if you're dangerously obese where you have health problems. I'm all for it. That's great. But for everything you hold dear, please just do some strength training and then also the protein. You're going to lose some muscle. That's just how it goes with very low calorie diets, which this makes you naturally do. But if you can crush as much protein as you can comfortably eat and do some consistent strength training with a serious stimulus, a great demand on the target muscles, it's important for normal people who are losing weight, but it's far more important for people who are on the GLP-1 agonists or the GIP agonists. It's far more important for this population because those interventions specifically can cause drastic and rapid loss of lean tissue. And that's the last thing that you want when you're trying to get healthier. You don't want to lose lean tissue. You want to keep as much of it as you can while you're on that journey.
Yeah, so good. I can speak for myself when I say I've known people that have taken these drugs. For those people, it's been life-changing. But the one thing we don't know, and I heard this the other day, is that nobody knows how to get people off the drugs yet.
Sure.
They can get them down to like a microdosing type thing, but most people, when they get off the drugs, they end up gaining the weight back, and they do so without the muscle.
Right, and they're not gaining muscle when they gain it back. They're losing muscle and fat, and then when they gain it back, it's only fat they're gaining.
Right.
So you end up back where you started. They did a wallet biopsy. You're out a few grand. And then also you end up at a far worse body composition than when you started.
Yeah.
So it's so important.
So if you want to avoid that, and what most people should be doing, if you want to avoid that, you have to do two things. One, well, I guess it's two things that end up in the most important thing. One, you need to be exercising and keeping the muscle or building new muscle. And two, you need to be eating enough protein. And what that really means is creating these new habits so that if and when you want to get off the drug, you want to stop spending so much money, the muscle and the habits are there and you'll be successful. Right. But if you get off the drug without the muscle and the habits, it was a waste.
If you take the drug not expecting to change your habits, and I'm just going to keep living my life exactly how I've been living it, but adding this drug in, you're going to have a bad time. You're going to eventually come to a point where you no longer are taking the drug. And then because you're living the same lifestyle with all the same habits, you eventually will end up in the same place that those habits and that lifestyle produced in the first place. And so it's a fool's errand. It's just a round trip. And you're fat, you're skinny, now you're fat again, but you have even less muscle than you had before. Congrats. So if you're going to do this, you need to also do it with the idea of changing your habits. And mainly it's the strength training and the protein, but there's other stuff that caused you to be in that position in the first place. You need to identify those and do some self-reflection, do some growth, and the drugs can help with your progress, but someday you're not going to have that drug and you need to be better at that point.
That's right. Okay, let's wrap it up. So if you are one of many, many people that are interested in, I'll just say weight loss, when it's really fat loss, right. You want to just look leaner, you want to feel better and across the area, we're saying, let's flip the script. Let's focus on, I know this is going to shock our audience, heavy strength training. Let's focus on eating at least, I'll say, a gram of protein per pound of body weight. Let's get those habits locked in. And then when you're ready, willing, and able to start focusing on what does my total food look like, especially after you're feeling a little less hungry, these sorts of things, and you want to get that energy balance into a deficit so that you start to lose fat, these things are necessary. And if you do that with a little help, like one of these drugs, they're even more necessary.
Right. The marginal utility is far greater.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Awesome. Okay.
That's a big one.
That's a big one. Oof. I feel pretty good. Yeah.
I need some tea, soup.
All right, man.
Some Werther's.
I'll see you next time.
Yeah, I'll see you next time.
Thanks for tuning in to the Perfect Workout Podcast. We hope you found today's episode inspiring and actionable. If you're ready to take the next step in your fitness journey, visit us at theperfectworkout.com for more resources or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this episode with someone who could benefit. Together, let's make fitness simple, empowering, and a part of life well lived. See you next time.